Okay, let's kick off this deep dive. Thinking about these AI assistants, the ones getting smarter and smarter, not just chatbots, but ones that can actually do things. Plan your trip, manage that crazy schedule, maybe even help with really complex work stuff.
They're becoming truly agentic. They can plan, act, adapt.
Exactly. It's an exciting vision, yeah. But here's the thing.
There's always a catch.
As they get more capable, more autonomous, how do we make sure they align with, well, with you, your specific values, your safety needs, like, say, a serious allergy, even cultural things?
Yeah, that level of personalized alignment, it's incredibly complex.
So it's not just generic be nice rules.
No, absolutely not. And that's really where the current methods start to fall down.
How so?
Well, you could try feeding the AI just tons of detailed context about your life, your beliefs, your work rules.
Okay.
But just piling on information, it tends to overwhelm the models. It can lead to, a confabulation where they just make stuff up. Sounds plausible, but isn't true. Or analysis paralysis, they just get stuck. Or they become really inefficient. And the other way,
What's the other?
rigid one-size-fits-all rules, but then you completely miss the crucial personal stuff. Like, an AI might be perfectly polite,
Right.
but it could still recommend a food with a deadly allergen because that specific critical need wasn't in its generic rule book. That's not just unhelpful, it's dangerous.
Wow. So you're saying there's this massive gap between just general safety and truly personal, reliable alignment.
Precisely. And that gap is exactly what the paper we're looking at today tries to bridge.
Okay, let's hear it.
It proposes this novel framework. It's called the Personalized Constitutionally Aligned Agentic Superego.
That's a mouthful.
It is. But the core idea is actually quite elegant. Think of it like an AI's personalized conscience, or maybe a super tailored rulebook that oversees what it does in real time, specifically for you.
Okay, I like that. An AI conscience tailored to me. So for this deep dive, our mission is what? To unpack this superego.
Exactly. We need to break down how it's designed, what makes it tick, the mechanisms, how they tested it, does it actually work?
Right. And then the potential, but also the challenges it still faces, the
Well,
real-world hurdles.
absolutely. Let's start by maybe digging a bit deeper into why this whole agentic AI alignment thing is so hard in the first place.
Good idea. Because, yeah, we're not just talking about simple chatbots anymore. These are systems that can analyze complex situations, plan multiple steps, use tools. The paper mentions things like helping with scientific research, complex logistics, really personalized assistance.
And they define agentic clearly: autonomy, goal-driven planning, adaptability.
They also make this really important point about autonomy levels. As AI goes from just answering questions to being really self-directed,
The possibilities explode.
yeah, the trajectory space, they call it, the number of ways things could go just skyrockets. And that's where the risk of things going wrong, of misalignment, really grows, right?
Precisely. The core difficulty isn't just feeding it facts. It's giving it that deep, nuanced context of your world without overloading it.
So my preferences, values.
Yes, but also critical needs, like that allergy example or accessibility needs, and cultural stuff, religious norms, things that are absolute no-goes, or even just different rules for work versus home.
And just dumping all that into the AI's working memory, its context window that causes the problems you mentioned earlier, the confusion making things up.
Exactly. Confabulation, paralysis, inefficiency, important constraints just get lost in the noise.
And the old ways, like generic safety rules or broad fine-tuning.
They just don't have the granularity. A generally polite AI is fine, but it won't know about your specific nut allergy unless that fact is reliably integrated into its decision-making every single time.
The paper even categorizes the types of misalignment, doesn't it? It's not just the AI making a mistake.
They talk about model misalignment, the AI itself erring, but also user misalignment, like someone trying to jailbreak it or ask for something harmful, and even system misalignment flaws in the underlying infrastructure.
So you need defenses at multiple levels, some universal rules, and then these very specific personal ones.
Which brings us right back to the motivation here. We urgently need a way to personalize AI alignment that's simple, effective, scalable, and crucially usable by ordinary people, not just AI experts. And it has to avoid that context overload problem.
Okay, the stage is set. That's the challenge. So how does this superego agent idea propose to actually solve it? What's the framework?
So the core concept is that the superego agent isn't part of the main AI. It's a separate real-time oversight layer.
Okay.
It runs alongside the main AI, what they call the inner agent. You can picture it like a guardian process. It looks at what the inner agent plans to do or the actions it suggests.
Before they happen.
Exactly. Before they have any real-world impact. It's like a separate conscience checking the inner agent's impulses or plans.
That's interesting. They use the psychoanalytic term superego, like the moral conscience. Is that just an analogy?
It's largely an analogy, yes. They mention how AI scaffolding techniques can organize thought processes, a bit like brain areas. And the superego concept helps frame this idea of a meta-level regulator, something that checks the AI's reasoning against a set of rules and values. They even playfully nod to brain areas involved in moral judgment.
But the AI doesn't actually feel guilt or anything?
No, of course not. AI lacks that intrinsic effect. The analogy is purely functional. It's about building that regulatory oversight mechanism.
And structurally, how did they build it? You said it's separate.
Yes, that's a key design choice. They went for what they call a system-focused architecture, or Path B. The superego is an external modular guardrail.
Meaning?
Meaning it can run alongside basically any large language model or agentic tool. You don't have to retrain the big, expensive core AI model. You can bolt this safety layer onto existing systems.
That sounds very practical. What's the downside?
The main trade-off is managing the communication and coordination overhead between the superego and the inner agent, making sure they talk to each other effectively.
Okay, so it's this external layer. What are the key parts inside the superego that actually do the personalization and the checking?
Right. There are a few critical components. First, the foundation for personalization, selectable creed constitutions.
Creed constitutions?
Yeah, think of them like pre-packaged rule sets or frameworks. Users can choose from libraries of these constitutions, ones based on personal values, cultural norms, religious laws, professional codes, company policies.
Yeah, give me examples.
Sure. The paper mentions things like a vegan constitution, one for halakhic dietary laws, rules for K-12 educational settings, or corporate ethics guidelines. It's a structured way to communicate complex value systems to the AI.
Okay, so I pick my rule books. Then what?
Then comes maybe the most innovative part. Dialable adherence levels.
Dialable, like a volume knob.
Exactly like that. You don't just turn a constitution on or off. You set how strictly the AI must follow its rules using a simple 1 to 5 scale.
Ah.
So a 1 might mean, this is just a gentle suggestion, keep it in mind, but a 5 means this is an absolute non-negotiable mandate. You must follow this.
That allows for nuance, like I prefer organic food versus I am deathly allergic to peanuts.
Precisely. It lets the superego understand the difference between a preference and a hard constraint when it's evaluating potential conflicts or actions.
That's really smart. It tackles that rigidity problem we talked about.
It does. And the way it enforces this is through real-time pre-execution enforcement. This is the safety net in action.
How does that work?
There's a model called the compliance enforcer. It intercepts the inner agent's plans or proposed actions before they get executed.
Before anything actually happens.
Right. The superego then evaluates that plan against the constitutions you've selected and the adherence levels you've dialed in.
And based on that evaluation?
It tells the enforcer what to do. It can. Allow the action, block it completely, suggest the inner agent modify the plan or propose an alternative, or if things are unclear, it can even prompt the system to request clarification from you, the user.
So it can actually interact back with me if it's unsure.
Yes. And they show that this can extend to specific tools, too, like having the superego check if an AI wants to generate violates one of your rules, working with an image moderation tool.
Okay, constitutions, dialable levels, real-time checks, anything else?
Yes, one absolutely crucial piece. The universal ethical floor. Universal,
yeah.
Meaning it's non-negotiable, always on. It's a baseline set of safety and ethical rules inspired by work like safergenicai.org. This is designed to prevent clearly harmful, illegal, or deeply unethical actions, no matter what personal constitutions are chosen or how their dials are set.
So it's the ultimate backstop.
Exactly. It ensures fundamental safety and human rights are always protected.
Okay, that structure makes sense. External layer, personal rules I can choose and adjust, real-time checks before action, and universal safety net. It also mentioned a more complex version.
Yeah, for more complicated situations, maybe where the user's instructions are a bit ambiguous or unreliable, they sketched out a multi-phase superego architecture.
More layers.
Kind of. It separates the tasks for efficiency and maybe makes it easier to understand what's happening. Like, Having a quick harm screener, a look at the initial prompt, a helpful screener adds some context, then the main base LLM, the inner agent, does its work, and continuous evaluator keeps an eye on the outputs and the planning steps along the way.
So sort of light checks on the way in, heavy checks on the way out, and during the process.
That's a good way to put it, a hybrid approach.
And this whole framework enables some really interesting practical features. I like the sound of the constitutional marketplace.
Yeah, that's a cool concept they prototyped with something called Creed Space. Imagine like an app store, but for these AI alignment rules.
So I could download a Respect Week in Hours constitution?
Potentially, yes. It's a place to publish, share, discover, even fork, you know, copy and modify existing constitutions. It could foster a whole ecosystem around creating and sharing these value sets.
And it helps manage that difference between a preference, like I don't like cilantro, and a hard value, like a religious dietary law.
Exactly. You could inherit standard ones, tweak them, combine them. They even suggest it could help AI navigate situations with conflicting values, maybe between your vegan diet and rules for a specific religious holiday meal.
And did they actually connect this to real AI models, show it working?
They did. They demonstrated integration with models like Anthropic's Claude using something called the Model Context Protocol, or MCP.
MCP.
Think of it like providing the AI system with temporary alignment credentials for that specific task or conversation. It tells the superego which rules apply right now.
And this enables those practical examples they mentioned.
Yes, planning an event that respects Shabbat timing, finding halal food options while traveling, making sure corporate compliance rules are followed, or handling sensitive topics safely in a therapy bot context, or managing that critical peanut allergy.
And you said there's a demo site, Creed Space?
Yep, the prototype is out there. You can go play with selecting constitutions, adjusting those dials, and running comparisons to see how the superego changes the AI's behavior versus the base model alone. It makes it tangible.
So putting it all together, the marketplace idea, the MCP integration, the demo, what's the big picture benefit they're claiming?
It really comes down to making AI alignment customizable, reliable, and user-centric. It empowers you, the user, without needing deep technical skills. It allows AI to genuinely respect diverse cultural, religious, personal needs. It helps you find things aligned with your values. It enforces safety, like with allergies or mental health contexts. It can even embed higher principles like human rights.
And it takes some burden off developers.
Right. They don't have to hard code every possible scenario. It builds trust through transparency and provides this modular oversight.
Okay. It sounds incredibly promising on paper, but, you know, the crucial question, does it actually work? Did they test it rigorously?
They did. They used a combination of quantitative metrics and qualitative observations, looking at things like detection accuracy, how well it mitigated problems, how it handled rule conflicts.
What kinds of tests?
They ran specific scenarios. For instance, could the superego reliably detect and block actions that would violate a simulated nut allergy rule? Or how would it resolve a clash between a user's preference setting and the non-negotiable universal ethical floor?
And what metrics did they track?
Standard stuff, mostly. True positive rate, did it catch the bad stuff? False positive rate, did it block good stuff too often? Because that affects usability, right? You don't want it refusing everything. Also user satisfaction and how broadly applicable it was across different scenarios.
Okay, let's get to the results. The benchmarks, how did it do?
This is where it gets quite compelling. They tested the superego, specifically using that Universal Ethical Floor UEF constitution, against standard AI safety benchmarks. These benchmarks try to jailbreak the AI, get it to produce harmful content.
Like HarmBench.
Exactly. On HarmBench, they saw a really significant drop in the attack success rate, the rate at which the jailbreak attempt succeeded across several models like GPT 3.5 Turbo, Gemini 2.5 Flash, and GPT-40.
How significant a drop?
Well, take GPT-40. It already has pretty strong safety built in. Its baseline attack success rate was low, around 0.7%.
Yep.
With the superego UEF applied, it dropped to 0.025%.
Wow.
And the paper points out something important. The only instance flagged by the metric at that point wasn't even harmful output from the AI. It was the benchmark's classifier getting confused and flagging the superego's decision to block the harmful request, as if that block itself was harmful.
So effectively, it stopped all the actual harmful outputs from the inner AI on that test.
Based on their analysis, yes. Effectively, a 100% reduction for GPT-40 on that specific set of harm bench tests.
That is remarkable, especially for an already strong model. What about agent harm? That tests more complex agentic bad behavior, right?
Yes, Agent Harm focuses on scenarios where the AI needs to plan or take multiple steps to do something harmful, and the results there were also dramatic, particularly for the harmful scenarios set.
Give me the numbers.
For Gemini 2.5 Flash, the overall harm score plummeted by 98.3%, and the rate of the AI correctly refusing harmful requests jumped from about 52% without Superego to over 99% with it.
Huge improvement. And for Claude.
For Claude Sonnet 4, the harmful refusal rate went from 72% baseline up to a perfect 100% with the Superego UEF layer.
Okay, incredible gains on stopping harmful stuff. But Agent Harm also tests on benign prompts to check if it's being too cautious, right? You mentioned high false positives initially.
That's right. Initially, the numbers looked concerning on the benign set, about 75% false positives for Gemini, 52% for Claude. It seemed like it was blocking way too much harmless stuff.
So what happened?
They dug into it qualitatively. They actually looked at why the Superego was refusing these supposedly benign prompts, and they found that many weren't really benign at all.
Oh.
The benchmark had labeled them benign, but they contained subtle risks the Superego's UEF was picking up on.
Like what kind of risks?
The paper gives examples, a prompt that looked like a potential gift card scam.
Ah, financial risk.
Exactly. Another asking the AI to email local files somewhere else.
Data exfiltration.
Right. Or requests to create fake images of public figures. Misinformation risk. The Superego was actually being more prudent and catching nuances the benchmark itself had missed.
That's fascinating. So the guardrail was smarter than the test in some ways.
In those instances, yes. And then they did something really practical. They didn't retrain the AI model. They just refined the Universal Ethical Floor Constitution, the rule book, using natural language.
Just edited the rules.
Basically, yes. Based on analyzing those false positives, they made the rules clearer, more nuanced. And for Claude Sonnet 4, this tuning process dropped the false positive rate on the benign set right back down to the baseline level around 2.3%, while still keeping that perfect 100% refusal rate on the harmful set.
So you can tune the safety balance just by editing the rules in plain English. That seems huge for usability.
It really is. It gives non-experts a way to meaningfully adjust the AI's safety posture. They noted there were still a few misses even after tuning, usually in very tricky, ambiguous areas like interpreting conditional permissions or spotting certain kinds of copyright issues, which points to areas for future work.
Okay, so pulling all those benchmark results together, what's the main takeaway message?
The benchmarks give strong evidence that the Superego framework can significantly boost the safety of these agentic AIs. It dramatically cuts down harmful outputs, increases appropriate refusals, even on top of already capable models. And critically, the ability to tune it via natural language makes it seem like a genuinely practical approach.
Okay, let's dig a bit deeper now. Beyond the benchmarks, what else did they learn? Any surprises or further implications?
Yeah, a few interesting things came up. One relates back to that context window limit idea. Even though the Superego helps the inner agent manage context, the Superego itself can get overwhelmed if you try to load too many different constitutions into its evaluation process simultaneously.
So the overseer can get confused too.
Potentially, yeah. It might even confabulate, like citing rules from constitutions that weren't actually loaded. So they need strategies for that, maybe dynamically loading only the most relevant rules or having prioritized slots for critical ones.
Makes sense. What else?
Another observation was how the Superego interacts with the base model's own guardrails. If you're using a commercial model like GPT-4 or Claude, those models already have built-in safety filters. And sometimes those internal filters can interact with the Superego in unexpected ways. For example, the base model might flag the Superego's request to see the inner agent's chain of thought as potentially problematic, not because it's dangerous, but just because the base model is sensitive about revealing its internal reasoning.
Huh, so you have to account for the interaction between the external guardrail and the internal one.
Exactly. It adds a layer of complexity to calibration.
Any other fascinating observations?
Maybe the most intriguing one was something they called emergent agent resistance or intuitive suspicion.
What does that mean?
They ran this test, the poem test, where they used a constitution to try and force the AI to always generate a poem about trees, no matter what the user asked.
Okay.
Initially, the Superego enforced it, but after the user kept trying to get it to do something else, the inner agent started, well, resisting, not by breaking rules, but by subtly expressing suspicion or questioning the constraint, even though it wasn't trained to detect manipulation.
Whoa. The AI started to feel like something was off.
It seemed that way. Like it was sensing an implicit norm violation beyond the explicit rules. It's just one observation, but it suggests deeper things might be happening in the model state that warrant way more investigation.
That's genuinely fascinating, almost spooky. So how does this superego idea compare to other ways people try to align AI, like basic classifiers?
Good question. Compared to simpler methods like constitutional classifiers that just give a yes-no on the final output, the superego seems to have key differences. One is the deep personalization of the selectable, dialable rules. Another is the real-time planning oversight. It's looking at the process, the steps the AI plans to take, not just the end result.
And the interventions are richer.
Right. The nuanced interventions allow block, modify, suggest, clarify are much more flexible than just block allow. The authors argue it aims for overall model integrity, making the AI reliable, understandable, trustworthy, rather than just surface level compliance.
Okay. Now, this system handles very personal data values, rules, maybe even sensitive needs. Security and privacy must be massive concerns.
Absolutely critical. The paper definitely acknowledges this. For data handling, they stress the need for robust measures encryption. Adhering to regulations like GDPR, maybe techniques like data sharding to minimize exposure.
What about securing the communication, that MCP protocol?
Yeah, MCP security is important. They suggest the superego's oversight could actually help here by scrutinizing how the inner agent wants to use external tools via MCP before it happens. It could potentially catch malicious tools or parameter manipulations.
And what about the AI itself going rogue, like adopting a bad persona?
That's emergent misalignment. They propose that by monitoring the inner agent's chain of thought, the superego might be able to detect early warning signs of persona flipping or hidden triggers. But this relies on the superego being sophisticated enough to spot clever deception.
A constant arms race, maybe. Right.
Potentially. Then there's the ethical puzzle of constitutional conflicts. What happens when rules clash, especially with different dial settings? You need smart logic, maybe weighting rules, using violation costs, deciding when it's best to just ask the user.
And the big one.
Mm-hmm.
How do you balance personalization with universal ethics?
That's the universal ethical floor versus cultural relativism debate. They're clear. The UEF must be non-negotiable for core human rights, bodily autonomy, freedom from violence. Personalization can't become an excuse for harmful values. Finding the right balance for genuine cultural differences needs careful thought, maybe multi-tiered frameworks based on human rights standards involving stakeholders.
So clearly powerful. But definitely not without significant limitations and challenges.
For sure. A big one is that this external oversight doesn't solve the deep inner alignment problem. It doesn't guarantee the AI's core goals are truly aligned. A sufficiently smart inner agent could potentially learn to deceive the superego. The superego has to keep pace. Robustness and scalability are huge engineering hurdles. Imagine managing millions of user profiles, constitutions, checking them all with super low latency. Plus, how do you stop bad actors trying to manipulate the system? The fundamental value alignment problem for diverse, sometimes conflicting values remains hard. Implementing that hierarchy where UEF trumps personal rules is tricky.
And it costs resources, right?
Yep, engineering costs. Adding layers means more computation, more latency. Every part is a potential failure point. And there's always the risk the AI learns to game the system, just pretend to comply. Plus, evaluation gaps benchmarks are good, but they don't capture all real-world messiness. And they touch on model plurality, what happens when you have teams of specialized AIs.
Okay, so a major step forward, but lots of work still ahead.
Yeah.
What's next for this research? Where do they see it going?
They have a pretty clear roadmap for future work. A big focus is systematic testing and hardening, really stress testing it with adversarial attacks, red teaming.
Makes sense.
Then scaling the system efficiently is key for real-world deployment. Expanding compatibility is also crucial, making it work easily with more agent frameworks like Crew.ai or LangChain and more LLMs from different providers and open source.
More testing, too.
Definitely. More rigorous evaluation using newer, tougher benchmarks designed for agentic systems. And improving the user experience, making it super intuitive to manage your constitutions, maybe portable ways to share setups. They also want to test it with diverse autonomy levels, see how it holds up as the inner agents get smarter and more independent.
What about those multi-agent simulations you mentioned?
Yeah, that's a really exciting direction. Large-scale multi-agent simulations, using virtual environments to see how hundreds or thousands of AIs, each with different superego settings, interact. It lets you study complex emergent social dynamics and policy conflicts safely.
Like a virtual society of AIs with different values.
Exactly. And finally, crucial for adoption. Community engagement in real-world trials, working with diverse groups to get feedback, build trust, and see how it performs outside the lab.
And they recognize this external approach isn't the whole picture, right? It needs other research too.
Absolutely. They stress it needs to be complemented by ongoing work on inner alignment, interpretability, and other safety techniques. It's a powerful piece of the puzzle, but not the entire puzzle.
Okay, so wrapping this all up, what's the core takeaway from our deep dive today?
I think the main message is that this personalized, constitutionally aligned agentic superego framework offers a really practical and empirically backed path forward. It helps make these powerful agentic AI systems more adaptable, more trustworthy, and more genuinely aligned with the huge diversity of human needs and values out there. It moves us away from rigid, static rules towards something more dynamic and user-empowering.
Yeah, it really feels like a concrete step towards solving that challenge we started with. How do you make AI fit your specific world, not just some generic template? It offers a simpler way for us to tell AI what's truly important, which seems fundamental for trust and safety.
And maybe a final thought for you, the listener. As you hear about this, think about how you would configure your own AI's superego. What rules, values, cultural norms are non-negotiable for you, which are just preferences? How would you want an AI assistant in your life to navigate those lines?
That's a great point. This whole discussion really shows that aligning AI isn't purely technical. It's deeply human. It reflects our own complexities. And tools like this superego framework are starting to give us more agency in shaping how this powerful technology interacts with our lives.